Back here on the Mighty 690, and we have 7:40 on the clock. It is a Friday, so it's time for a legislative update, and we're joined by State Senator Virgil Peck, Havana, in a tornado warning yesterday. That was interesting.
That was interesting. And James, by the way, kudos to the KGGF staff, yourself, Sherry, John, Chris, Matt, Caleb.
You got them all.
I got them all.
You got everyone who did something yesterday, yeah.
Okay. But in any event, I was headed home from Topeka last evening, and I had checked radar to see, am I going to run into bad weather? And I could see there was a little bit around Burlington, but down here, it was really red and big. But you are correct. Havana, you guys mentioned Havana several times, and of course, that gets my attention because I'm close to Havana. And then Caney, Tyro, and then moving over here toward Coffeyville. But it was just one of those things where it was comforting to know, hey, people back home, they got us covered. Actually, interestingly, because of all the lightning around, I couldn't listen to 690 AM. So I thought, well, I'll listen to one of the FMs if it'll come in. You guys were reaching way up by Beto Junction last evening on 104.1. So just, but anyway, kudos for the coverage. And my understanding was, from all the talk that I heard on KGGF, there apparently was a tornado or some type of twister, is what I'm going to call it, up in the clouds.
Yeah, we had some rotation. It never didn't seem to actually make it down to the ground. If it did, that would have gotten pretty serious. But yeah, we kind of dodged a bullet with that one. But, you know, it's a reminder that, you know, we are into severe weather season, and it is, we got to be prepared. So, and, you know, I know this is kind of early, you know, it seems like, but, you know, it's going to be an interesting season. We'll be ready for it.
But we never know what Mother Nature's going to throw our way when it comes to weather. But the good news is for listeners, hey, tune in to KGGF. You can tune in on your phone if you can't get KGGF over a radio. And I know some young people, radio, what is that? But anyway.
Hey, we always tell people, you know, it's good to have a battery operated in your go kit if you're going to be going into a storm shelter or seeking cover, you know, if you have your own storm shelter, that sort of thing. But, you know, plenty of ways to get it. But yeah, if we do have a tornado, we always tell people we do go into quadcast on all four stations. So anytime there is a tornado warning for the immediate counties here, we will just automatically put all those on and do
good to know. And good benefit for the area residents.
Yeah, well, absolutely. That's our goal here. We definitely want to make sure we keep people covered. So keeping people covered as far as things go in Topeka, I know we want to talk a little bit about those February tax collections.
That was an interesting segue, keeping people. That was great, James. Oh, you are the professional.
We pride ourselves in this.
Okay, but yes, February tax collections were reported on Monday, a little bit later because the first was a Friday. And February tax collections for the fifth month in a row did not meet estimates. That's something that's been sort of a little bit of a challenge to me, is because we are asking estimators, economists, to estimate the future. No one can do that. God's the only one that knows the future. And so when we ask them to estimate, they do their best. They give it their best effort. But the estimates were in November. February tax collections were $33 million below estimates, which is not really a positive. And the main hit, James, was individual income tax missed the mark by $46 million. And then one that I watch very closely, because I believe it's a pretty good indicator of what's going on, and that is sales tax collections. Because as people earn, they tend to spend. When they do not earn, they do not spend. Sales tax collections were over $10 million less than expected for the month of February. Now, because we're looking at estimates versus collections, it's also interesting to go back and look at a comparison from 2024 to 2023. February 2024 did not compete with February 2023. What I mean by not compete, collections in this year were $28 million below February of last year. Individual income tax collections, again, were less than last February, about $37 million. And the one that I, again, monitor, sales tax collections were down by $15 million month compared to month. So the month of February of 23 was $15 million higher in sales tax collections in the month of February for 2024. I do not have an answer, but this, it depends on a person's perspective when you look at this. Some people say, oh, we can't not afford tax cuts now. Well, then there are the rest of us that say, Kansas residents' revenue budget income apparently is down in spending. So it is the perfect time or the best time or a necessary time to cut taxes. State's still sitting on nearly $5 billion of excess revenue. That is money we took from Kansas taxpayers. I don't know what we're going to do. We can't seem to get anything through that the governor will support. Elections have consequences. Just as I said last month, Kansas citizens are paying higher taxes today because of who our governor is. Enough said on that, I guess.
Sure, but even, you know, now the Oklahoma eliminating that sales tax just altogether, you know, being on the state line, you have people saying, hey, well, Kansas isn't going to do it here. It's going to be years until we get that down to where Oklahoma's going to be. You know, we'll just go down there to shop, and, you know, that's Oklahoma could benefit from that. So it's just one of those things where, you know, yeah, Kansas will get there eventually, but it's going to, it just had because of that phase out.
Great point. And we are competing against other states. Like it or not, whether some people think we should or should not, doesn't matter. We are competing against other states. Sales tax on groceries would already be eliminated if we had a different governor. Because we passed that last session in 2023, they would have been gone by now. But there was a veto. We couldn't override it. They would be lowered here in a few days had the plan we passed this year, or it would be eliminated here in a few days, on April the 1st, had the governor not vetoed the tax legislation. Currently, they are being phased out. Sales tax on groceries, it's at 2% now. It'll be at zero come January. But that's still 9 months from now. So we phased it out rather than just jumped in with both feet like Oklahoma, and they're eliminating it. I find it interesting, from what I have read and what I understand, Oklahoma's grocery tax elimination will take effect 90 days after the legislature adjourns. Well, I'm not sure what the adjournment date is, because in Kansas that can fluctuate. So our legislation, most all of it, takes effect on July 1. But you are right. It's going away in Oklahoma pretty quick. I mean, just being eliminated all at once.
Yeah.
And so, sadly, Kansas is still going to be on the short end of the stick here.
Yep, well, we'll see how that all plays out. But, hey, I know we've got some local construction projects going on here in Coffeyville, but also got some funding for some highway projects all throughout the state, some local areas benefiting.
We did. Yesterday, KDOT announced 17 projects across the state of Kansas that are now in the pipeline, $932 million in total projects, but we did fare pretty well here in southeast Kansas, in the Montgomery County, LeBec County area. And what this announcement does, it allows for engineering work to begin. So the process actually starts, because there's always engineering work. And then, sadly, James, during construction, there's inconvenience. I don't enjoy the inconvenience, meaning sometimes you got to go around, sometimes you got to wait. But it is progress, in process, if you will. But Highway 160 from Highway 169, down south of where the overpass is that was put in a few years ago, it's by the Bartlett bean plant. From Highway 69 headed east on Highway 60 over to Altamont, and that's going to be a $70 million project. And what they will be doing on parts of the highway stretch, they are strictly putting some passing lanes, which is an enhancement, an improvement. And then on other parts, there will actually be total reconstruction and adding of shoulders. So it will make for traffic flow much safer, much better, particularly with the coming and going of all the ag producers hauling beans to the plant, and large trucks will be hauling beans to the plant. It was actually a must. I mean, it was an absolute must. So the good news is that is in the pipeline. Those are that project is the one that was the main one that from this area, and then all across the state, the other 17 projects, or I guess it wouldn't be 17, there were 17 total, so we reduced this down. Actually, the Highway 160 project is considered two different projects. Highway 169 is also being improved from Highway 60, which is east of Independence, north to 400. So that will receive passing lanes. So there are two projects. Highway 169, which runs by the Cherryvale area, and then Highway 60, which runs from 169 over to Altamont. Those two projects. So we fared fairly well. It was good news for Southeast Kansas, because sometimes it seems like we are sort of at the back of the line on getting some of these projects into the pipeline, but these are in. Now, on that topic, just segueing a little bit, there's discussion, there's been media reports, and I've had people contact me concerned about the media reports, because there is discussion on how are we going to make certain that we have funding for highway projects going forward. There is a big push by some, I'm not a fan of it, but by some, to go to totally electric vehicles. A couple things. Electric vehicles are heavier. That does more damage to highways. And electric vehicles do not purchase fuel. And our highway, most of the funding comes from fuel tax, fuel collections. We do also receive funding from, when I was a chair of the Budget Committee for Transportation, James, I don't remember how many different fingers, if you will, came in, or different lines of funding, but there were like 22 different funding sources that went into the highway projects. Biggest ones would be sales tax collection, 17% of sales tax, and then the fuel tax goes into the highway fund. But there's discussion about, okay, electric vehicles, they will be driving on the highways, they will be doing damage, but they will not be doing anything as far as fuel tax. So how can we get electric vehicles to kick in their fair share? To use a progressive term, they like to use the fair share term, of the highway funding. There's talk about a registration fee every year. There's talk about looking at the miles that are driven. And then when you talk about miles being driven, sometimes it's talked about, well, gas-powered vehicles, the same thing. I don't see how that's going to work very well. And miles being driven is a challenge, because if you drive into Oklahoma or into Missouri or somewhere else, you're not doing any wear and tear on Kansas highways, but yet they are miles being driven by a Kansas vehicle. So I don't know what the answer is, but my point is there's discussion about how are we going to get electric vehicles to also kick in to help fund highways.
Gotcha. So switching gears just a little bit, I know that we've had, you know, a Super Tuesday, all that stuff, you know, voting, and I know there's been bills introduced here talking and dealing with that 3-day grace period on ballots. I guess, first of all, what is that grace period, and what's this bill all about?
You are right. We are down to one, basically, person in the Republican primary, but Kansas Republican primary is the 19th of this month, here a little over a week from now. You can advance vote right now. You can walk in the courthouse and tell them you want a ballot, show photo identification. They'll give you a ballot. You can vote for Democrat primary, Republican primary. So that is going on currently. We did have a bill on the Senate floor that, okay, I'm going to back up and answer your question. You ask about the 3-day grace period. In 2017, the legislature implemented a 3-day grace period for mail-in ballots. What that means is, if a ballot is postmarked on Election Day and received by the Friday after Election Day, it counts. That delays the vote count. That delays the outcome of an election by the 3 days. More and more mail, or less and less mail, I guess I should say, is receiving a postmark. So we don't know when it is mailed, even if it is received by Friday. Sometimes you can drop something in the mailbox today and boom, tomorrow it's delivered. Not to be disparaging to our United States Postal Service, but it's getting slower and slower. And in certain areas it seems to be worse. Mail from here to Topeka or from Topeka to here is getting where it's taking 2 and 3 weeks, which you could walk to Topeka in less than 2 or 3 weeks. But so there was legislation to eliminate that grace period that was just put in 6 years ago. So Election Day is Election Day. If you have a ballot, an advance ballot that you're going to mail or vote by advance ballot, it's on you, voter, to make certain your ballot gets to the clerk's office by 7 o'clock on Election Day. Was this proposal. Now, it did not pass, so nothing is changing at this point. There will still be a push to make that change. But the reason that it failed, I supported it. I support eliminating the grace period so that we have Election Day be Election Day and we can start counting ballots at 7 o'clock, count till they're counted, and we know what the ballot or what the election results are. But there was an amendment put on to eliminate drop boxes, and I supported that amendment. That amendment, because drop boxes are not secure. Anyone can drop ballots into drop boxes. And then even if everyone says, well, that's a convenience, I got that. But what about the ballot if someone does something mischievous, dumps a bottle of water in there, and the ballots get all wet? Or even worse, if they dump a flammable liquid in there and then set that on fire. That destroys the ballots, so we don't know who voted how, who has dropped their ballots in that. People could come forward and say, well, I did. Well, how do you know that? How do you prove that? So eliminating drop boxes was an amendment added on. Again, I supported that. I thought that was a good idea. We also had an amendment that was attached that would say if your photo ID is from out of state, for example, your driver's license or something, and it doesn't match where you are registered to vote, you can vote, but it will be provisional, meaning it put in an envelope, and then the county will canvass the votes, the county commission will canvass the votes, and determine if that person should be allowed to vote or not because their photo ID did not match up. And a person can also come in after Election Day. They would have about a week to show the county clerk's office that they had proper photo ID and they are the properly registered voter at that address. Not a big deal. That went on. So we're still okay. But the one that killed the bill was a well-intentioned legislator put an amendment on that eliminated machine counting, which meant all ballots had to be hand counted and no more machine voting. Well, that would be a little bit of a challenge here in Montgomery County in southeast Kansas, but it's a really big challenge in Sedgwick County, Johnson County, our larger counties, because hand counting would mean that the vote count would not be known for days. And so particularly legislators from urban areas, they dropped off their support. So that vote failed. That was SB 365. We'll see if we can come back around and take another run at the 3-day grace period. I don't know what we can accomplish. But it's interesting how you have a bill that's going to pass pretty handily, and then amendments kill the bill.
Okay. Well, in our last couple of seconds together, anything else you want to highlight for us, Virgil?
Well, sticking with the topic of elections, currently in Kansas, when we have a vacancy in the United States Senator position, which the last time was 1996, it was Bob Dole when he ran for president. Currently, the governor appoints someone to fill that position. It's strictly up to the governor. We have legislation, I'm hoping it gets through, that would change that to the governor still appoints a replacement to the U.S. Senator, but they would be required to replace the senator with someone from the same party that had been registered in that party 10 or more years, and then that person would face Senate confirmation. So what it does, it gets the voters more involved. We'll see if that goes through. We haven't had a vacancy since 96. We don't very often have a vacancy in the United States Senate, but when we do need a person to take that position. We just don't want the governor to have full reign to just pick whomever they want. Because if it happened today, I guarantee you, our governor would not pick a Republican to replace our Republican senators, Jerry Moran, Roger Marshall. Don't see either one of them going anywhere, quitting. But as an insurance agent, I always think of the tragic of if someone passes, then they're not going to be able to fulfill their office. But so we'll see what happens with that as well. But that's pretty much wraps up our time together this morning. And hopefully I sounded not so excited as the guy on TV last night. I don't know what he was on, but my goodness.
Oh, man. Those meteorologists, they get excited.
So. Well, I was talking about someone after you were on.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, yeah, he was excited. Yeah. All right. Hey, we got 51 degrees right now. Virgil Peck, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure, absolutely.
State Senator Virgil Peck here on KGGF. News on the way.